Well, this morning's message is, whose care is it?
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Come on, pray together with me. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the open eyes that you've shown us your Word. You've given us your Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and enlighten our thoughts. And may our thoughts be your thoughts today, Lord, as we zero in on your Word. And so, God, I thank you so much for that. And I'm looking forward to this message that you have given us today, Lord, because you have done so much for us. And we're asking you again to open our hearts and open our minds. And we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Amen. And I do have to say this. This is for Pastor Aaron's sake. Yesterday, the Steelers won. It was a miracle. It was a Christmas miracle. That was for you, Pastor Aaron. And for Dante. Yeah, okay. Good morning, everyone. Okay, so I'm going to start out this morning's message with asking you a question. And the Lord really sparked my interest on this today, but how many of you have ever been talking to someone, and then you say to them as you're getting ready to leave, you will say something like this: take care of yourselves. Or, take care. Anybody ever said that before? Well, maybe by the end of this message, you will listen to yourself saying that and might want to rethink that. Because the Lord really challenged me because I've said that so many, many times. How many of you can remember saying that a lot of times in your life? Okay. Take care of yourself, okay? And then somebody says to you, well, take care, and you say, oh, I will. You're wondering, where is this pastor going with us today? Well, this morning's message is, whose care is it? And I want to talk about that this morning because, in actuality, when we say these words, they kind of fly in opposition to the Word of God. And oftentimes, and I will tell you this, that we have grown up saying different phrases, and we've learned those phrases over the year. And for an example, sometimes it just flies off of many Christians' tongues to others. Well, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. When in reality, the scriptures say to not bid Godspeed to those that are in opposition to the Word of God. Don't even invite them into your homes. Don't bid them Godspeed. So I think it's very important that we watch what we say because we know what Jesus said will be judged. Every idle word will be judged. And so it's important that we watch the words come out of our mouths. And some people say to me, well, Pastor, you know, that's just gone overboard because we really don't mean anything by it. But it's important the words that come out of our mouths. How many of you agree with me on that? The rest of you, I'm praying for you, Caleb. Okay? I'm kidding. I just wanted to wake him up. Okay? Here's the thing. No, he's awake. He always pays attention to me. All right? John, you do too, right?
Yes.
Amen. But I want you to listen to the words of what God tells us. And I want you to go with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting, what does your Bible say? Casting all of your what? Care upon him, for he careth for you. And the other evening, I heard that, and I heard somebody say, well, take care. And the other person said, I will. And this scripture just popped into my heart, and the Lord said, whose care really is it? Especially if we are saying that somebody says to us, take care, and you say, I will take care of myself. And this scripture tells us, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and then casting all of your care upon him because he cares for you. Now, many years ago when we were in the other sanctuary, I can remember a sermon. That was when I was a lot younger, and I wouldn't do that now. Barb, you may remember that sermon, but I had Pastor Aaron come up. This was years ago, probably 18 years ago, and I had him do some things like rip my shirt off. And I didn't realize how strong he was until that day. And my buttons went flying everywhere. And I went, whoa! But I think that sermon I was talking about, this casting your cares upon Jesus. And the casting, that word right there means actually flinging. Like a violent flinging your cares to the Lord. Now, think about this. If that's what we are supposed to be doing, taking our cares and our concerns and flinging them upon him, should we be taking them and dealing with them? I don't think so. And again, you know, this flies right in the face of what God wants us to do, because when we say, I will take care of myself, because no one else can take care of me, I'll take care of myself. What are we doing? We're exalting ourselves above God. In that he says, I want to take your cares because I care for you. Now, I realize that we may only say that to be nice to someone. How many of you say things when you have nothing else to say or you don't know what to say? And so you just say things like, well, take care of yourself. I really want to challenge us to listen to the words that come out of our mouths this coming year. And be careful that we're speaking the Word of God, not just something just to say something. Because I think that it is important here. And some people say, well, you know, I'm just doing that to be nice. But as believers, we are to cast our cares upon him, not take them for ourselves. Now, how many of you have cares that are in your life right now? They come in the form of, well, I'm worried about such and such. And I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. And God is speaking to us today and saying that I want to take these cares. Did you know that that's God's job? But yet so many of us want to handle our cares ourselves, because we think we do a much better job on them. Let me just ask you this. Do you do a better job than God can do? Because oftentimes we think, well, God, you're not working fast enough here. And I joked about that earlier. But we do that. It's like yesterday, we went and picked up some food at Chick-fil-A. And me being the very patient kind of guy that I am, our previous stop, I got on the app. I said, Laura, that food's going to be waiting on us when we get there. And I took my time and I did it on the app. And Laura's sitting there going, why don't we just go there? Why don't we just go there and we'll go through the drive-thru? I said, it ain't happening. I'm not sitting in a drive-thru at Chick-fil-A. Anybody ever sat in a drive-thru at Chick-fil-A during lunchtime? Okay. So I got this. I got this. And I ordered that. And we get there. She said, I don't see how this is faster. I said, just wait. I'm going to go in, grab the food, be right back. I went in. There was no food sitting there. And then somebody spilled an entire jug of iced tea and it went all over the floor there. So they had to take time and clean that all up. And I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited some more. Meanwhile, all the cars had gone through the drive-thru and I came out with the food and I knew what I was going to get into. And she just looked at me and went, that was quick, wasn't it? Yeah. But how many times do we try to circumvent God because we try to take care of things? Because we think we can make it happen a little bit faster. And I think the Lord was just teaching me another lesson in patience. Another lesson in waiting and trusting God. Now, we're going to look at a couple scriptures here. Go with me to the book of Psalms, because I believe we can trust our God, don't you? We definitely can. Psalm chapter 37 is where I want to go first. Psalm 37 and verse 23 is where I want to start. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Now, I really, really like that scripture because God orders the righteous steps. And he always does it well, does he not? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. I never really understood that when I was young, Gene. But I'm starting to get there right now, all right? Nor have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. He is merciful, he lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves judgment and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Did you hear what that said? None of his steps shall slide. The righteous, when we call upon the Lord and we give him our cares, he will take care of everything that has to do with us. How many believe that? Because we read that and we're like, oh, great, 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 great. But yet I'm still going to take charge and I'm going to take care of myself. I'm about done with that. Are you? I'm about done with trying to take care of myself. Because God does a way better job. Turn back a couple chapters to verse chapter 32 of Psalms. Psalm 32, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Oh, you can hear the song going, right? We did it Wednesday night. I think we did Wednesday night. You are my hiding place. You will preserve me from trouble. You will compass me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that you will go. I will guide you with mine eye. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
He will do that. He will instruct us, teach us in the way that we should go. And He'll guide us. There are so many benefits to letting God have your cares. And many times we think we ought to handle them ourselves when God says, let me have them. Let me have them. I will do a better job. Now, I want to go to the example of this, because the Scriptures always give us an example, and this is Christmas season. Some of you are like, when's he going to get to Christmas? It's Christmas Eve. Well, I want to talk about a different part of the Christmas story that has to do with God guiding steps and God being the one that leads us and takes our cares. And I'm going to focus today on the Christmas story with the father, the earthly father of Jesus. What was his name? Joseph. And I want to take a look at this and see how God does exactly what he said he would do. Matthew chapter 1, the beginning of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or it was like this. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now, for some of you that don't understand this, in the custom back in this day, in the Hebrew people, there was an espousal. We call it today, what? An engagement. When a man and a woman were engaged, that was a legal binding thing. And so husband and wife, though they were not, they hadn't finalized the marriage, Joseph now finds out that Mary is pregnant. Guys, what are you thinking? Something's not right with this picture. She's had to have been with someone else. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, can you imagine what's going on in his mind here? While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, I want you to understand something. Joseph thought, but God directed. Here's the point that I want to make. There are situations that happen in each one of our lives. And what's the very first thing that begins to happen? We begin to think, what are we going to do about this? How am I going to get out of this? What am I going to do? How many of you are fixers in this place? You like to fix things. You like any problem, you want to fix it. You see it, and I want to fix it. Raise your hand. All right. Some of you are raising someone else's hand. That's all right. I'll take that too. Yeah. See, Joseph thought, but God directed. God stepped in and sent an angel and said, let's not do this. And God began to direct. And I really want to encourage us, instead of the very first thing that we begin to think about is how am I going to take care of this? What am I going to do? What am I going to fix? How am I going to, you know, what am I going to rearrange to do this and that? Let's stop right here and say, you told me to cast my cares upon you. And so that's what I'm going to do right now. And I'm going to wait on you because you are my hiding place. You are my deliverer. You are the one that will take care of me. And I guarantee you God will step in and he will begin to do what God does. But if we stand up and we say, God, step aside, I got this. God is not going to rush in and say, okay, you handle it. He's not going to say, no, I got this, and force you and knock you down and let him do it. So Joseph had God step in there while he was thinking. Let's look at another area with Joseph. Turn over to the next chapter, chapter 2. Verse 13. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, we were talking about these that brought gifts, right? The wise men brought gifts. They were warned in a dream that they should not return that same way, but went another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee unto Egypt and be thou there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And there, he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. So again, God shows up in a dream and directs the steps of Joseph. He's now got a 2-year-old boy. And God speaks to him. And here's the point that I want to make. Joseph didn't need a plan. God already had it. Because how many of us, okay, so here we are. We're sitting here in our homes, and then we hear, you know what? Something bad is coming your way. And what's the first thing we want to start doing? Planning. How many planners do we have in here? The same people, okay? We really need to pray for them, okay? Because it's a blessing that God has given them with the ability to do these things in administration, but it also can be detrimental because we want to plan, we want everything to go our way. And some of us even go to the point where we say, our way is the best way. Because if you don't do it my way, you're not doing it the right way. And we have to be really careful with that because whose way is it? It should be God's way. Because remember, he's the one that careth for us. So Joseph didn't need a plan. God already had the plan. And I think by now Joseph may have begun to realize that God was directing his steps. And so he takes him and his family to Egypt, and there they stay until we pick this up again in Matthew chapter 2, verse 19 now, if you jump over there. 19 through 23, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream again to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, For there they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the place or the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside to the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So, if you look at verse 22, right, we understand that this was spoken by the prophets. Now, I believe that Joseph was tempted here to take his care, but God intervened. Because what was his care? He heard that Herod's son was in the place of his father, and immediately he began to think in himself, what? Got the same problem. But then God shows up again. I believe that Joseph was a man of God. And God chose him for the job because Joseph was willing to submit to the authority of God leading him. What would have happened if Joseph didn't submit to the authority of God? And listening to when God directed him to go here, remember, from Israel to Egypt, Egypt back to Israel, and then God directs him where he is to go. What would have happened if he said, no, I got it, God? Would have messed up the whole plan of God. And so God has a purpose and a plan. So I think we need to pay particular attention. God indeed cares more for what is concerning you than you ever could. You understand that? We've heard God so loved the world, and how many of you have heard God, when it comes to other individuals in your life, your sons, your daughters, people that you love and you want them saved, how many of you know God wants them saved more than you do? He careth for you. He cares for your cares and he wants you to fling them on him. Because he never wants his children to be in bondage to think that we've got to handle everything. Because he's a great big God, amen? He's a great big God and he can take care of us. How many of you have memorized Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6? Oh, the same person that raised their hand several times already, I'm kidding. Anybody know what Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says? We're really good at quoting that, huh? Sometimes not so good at following through with it. Yeah. Casting all of your cares, right? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct our paths. So this message is about God taking our cares and us allowing God to take our cares, flinging them upon Him, trusting Him, trusting God. Judy, you ready for me to be done yet?
Yes.
I'm kidding.
Okay.
This business of trusting God is really important. I'm going to shift gears just a little bit, but it still has to do with trusting God and giving our cares to Him. And this morning, I have brought a Christmas gift for all of you. Now, my guess is that you have never received a Christmas gift like this before. My guess. Maybe I'm wrong. David, would you come up here and help me? because I'm going to let each and every one of you get a gift from me. Now, please don't say he is a cheapskate. David, would you give one of those to everyone? It's my gift to you. Okay? You're all looking at me like, seriously? I want you to take that. Because, and by the way, I personally have sanitized every one of these pennies in antibacterial soap. And while I was doing that, I've prayed over every one of those pennies that you will get. And you're like, wow, that's big of him to give me a penny. But while you're getting that, I want to read a story. And some of you may have heard this. Several years ago, a friend of mine and her husband were invited to spend the weekend at the husband's employer's home. My friend, whose name was Arlene, was nervous about the weekend. The boss was very wealthy, with a fine home on the waterway and cars costing more than her house. The first day and evening went well, and Arlene was delighted to have this rare glimpse into how this very wealthy family lived. The husband's employer was quite generous as a host and took them to the finest restaurants. Arlene knew she would never have the opportunity to indulge in this kind of extravagance again, so she enjoyed herself immensely. As the three of them were about to enter into an exclusive restaurant that evening, the boss was walking slightly ahead of Arlene and her husband. He stopped suddenly, looking down on the pavement for a long, silent moment. Arlene wondered if she was supposed to pass him. There was nothing on the ground except a single darkened penny that someone had dropped and a few cigarette butts. Still silent, the man reached down and picked up the penny. He held it up and smiled, then put it in his pocket as if he had found a great treasure. How absurd! What need did this man have for a single penny? Why would he even take the time to stop and pick it up? Throughout the dinner, the entire scene nagged at her. Finally, she couldn't stand it any longer. She casually mentioned that her daughter once had a coin collection and asked if the penny he had found had been of some value in a coin collection. A smile crept across the man's face as he reached into his pocket for the penny, and he held it out for her to see. She had seen many pennies before. What was the point of this? Look at it, he said. Read what it says. She read the words, United States of America. No, not that. Read further. 1 cent? No, keep reading. In God we trust? Yes. How many of you noticed that on your penny? I tried to clean them up so you could read it really well. Those are the best pennies I could find. And if I trust in God, the name of God is holy, even on a coin. Whenever I find a coin, I see that inscription. It is written on every single United States coin, but we never seem to notice it. God drops a message right in front of me telling me to trust Him. Who am I to pass it by? When I see a coin, I pray. I stop to see if my trust is in God at that moment or in myself. I pick the coin up as a response to God that I do trust in Him. For a short time at least, I cherish it as if it were gold. I think it is God's way of starting a conversation with me. God is patient and pennies are plentiful. When I was out shopping today, I found a penny on the sidewalk. I stopped and picked it up, and I realized that I had been worrying and fretting in my mind about things I cannot change. I read the words, "In God we trust," and had to laugh. Yes, God, I get the message. How many of us have ever passed by that penny that was on the ground? I want you to hold on to that penny that I just gave you as a gift. Because that gift is worth way more than that 1 cent. It's a reminder that we ought to do what? Trust God. Trust God. And you know what? Years ago, I heard that story, and every time I see a penny, we stop and pick it up. And I hold it up and I say, God, I trust you. And it reminds me. So my guess is that you'll start to see lots of pennies on the ground. And sometimes when you see a dime or a quarter on the ground, you can really get excited, right? Thank you, Lord. And people in the parking lot are going, are you crazy? You're excited about picking up that penny. Yes, I am. Now, we have all heard the other sayings that are out there. Well, a penny saved is a penny earned. But it's not the worth of that penny. It's what it says. And really, when you think about it, the name of God is what? Holy. Pastor Aaron preached that. So again, I began to think about this. And instead, when we hear someone talking or we're having a conversation and just casually, instead of us saying, well, take care of yourselves, maybe another thing that we could say is, let God take care of you. Let God take care of you. And you may hear people say, what? But you'll have an opportunity to share that God is concerned about us and He wants us to give our cares to Him. I truly believe that God is speaking that to us and that we should understand that these are not our cares. These are God's cares. And I want to end up back in the book of Matthew again. Would you go with me here to chapter 6, flip over just a little bit. And I want to end with this because this is God's gift to us as we think about this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. Everybody there? Which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 cubit to his stature? Now remember, that's what Joseph started to do as he thought. How many of you got big thinking? You're thinkers. You try to figure out stuff. Judy's not going to raise her hand again. She's learned better now. Okay? Which of you can add 1 stature by worrying? And why do you take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, neither do they spin. Yet I say that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. You think it slips God's mind? Oh, he forgot. He didn't forget. He knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God. Whose care is it? It's God's care. It's God's care. Now, I gave you a gift. Now I want you to give your gift to someone else that I just gave you. And I want you to say, May God take your cares this Christmas. Now, give your gift to someone else. Go ahead, give them a gift and say, may God take your cares. Now, don't worry, you should get a gift back. Okay? Did everybody get a gift back? Or is somebody holding on to their penny? May God take your cares this Christmas, because He careth for you. I want us to remember this Christmas service, because God truly has given us a gift. He gave us His Son Jesus, and He's given us the gift of casting all of our cares upon Him, because He cares for you. And I want you to remember, every time you look at a penny or any other quarter or dime or nickel or whatever it is, remember, whose trust? Are we trusting the government?
No.
That was quick. But that was the right answer. In God. In God do we trust. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Not leaning on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledging Him. Because He will direct your paths. Can we remember that today? Father, thank You for Your word today. You are holy, Lord. And I pray for each one of us that we would remember that the cares belong to You. They don't belong to us, God. And that You would help us to not spend a lot of time formulating what we're going to do, but trust You and fling them to You and wait to see what You do. By faith, we do that, Lord. Because we know that situations will arise, and we want to have those opportunities to give that to You. And so, Lord, I thank You for doing it. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the word today, and we thank You for our time together. In Jesus' name, those people said amen. Amen and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.